Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
En podcast från Aftonbladet.
Aslan. Men det är mycket, mycket bra! En strålande stick i räddning av Laber! Anvergaard knows where the goal is. Anvergaard turned away by Labbe. Fine save. And this game takes another twist in the penalty competition.
After the start of the second half, but a lengthy pause and one that Stephanie Labbe will make the slow walk to the bench as she says farewell to Vancouver. She says farewell to the Canadian women's national team. In the lead up to the match, she said, "I'm at the point where I feel like I've left it all out there," committing herself mentally, physically, doing everything you need to do to be a top performer for as long as Stephanie Labbe did. It was cap 86 for her.
Förra sommaren så blev hon Sveriges fiende nummer ett när hon stod mellan de kanadensiska stolparna i OS-finalen. Nu har hon bestämt sig för att lägga av. Stephanie Labbe är målvakten som öppet har pratat om sin ångest och sina panikattacker och vill att fler pratar om psykisk ohälsa inom idrotten. Dessutom har hon ett långt förflutet i Sverige. Det var här hon blev proffs, lärde sig fika och hittade vänner för livet. Men avslutningen blev inte som hon hade tänkt sig.
You know, none of my teammates said hi, so that's fine. I saw the non-Swedish girls, but none of the Swedish girls were quite ready to see me, so.
Med oss på länk från Kanada för att prata om allt det här och lite till så har vi Stephanie Labbe som precis har spelat sina sista matcher med landslaget. So, Steph, how was this last week with the national team?
Yeah, it's been a lot, definitely emotion filled, but I mean, it was like exciting and I just feel so grateful to have had a moment like that. I know not a lot of athletes get that moment because, you know, everyone retires for different reasons. So the fact that I was able to, you know, go out on my own terms, make that decision on my own and have that moment to really celebrate with the country, with my family and friends, with my incredible teammates, it was a really, really special day.
What was it that made you take the decision that this is the time to retire?
Yeah, I felt it in my heart, in my soul. It just felt like the right time. I felt like I didn't have anything left to give. You know, when I wasn't excited every day waking up for training, when I didn't feel like I had that drive in me to push my body and my mind to the absolute limits every single day, that's when I knew. You know, I never wanted to do anything like half effort. I always wanted to push myself all the time. And I just kind of lost that drive and I lost that desire to want to push myself to those limits. And that's what I knew.
And so this week you have had your final games together with the national team. Can you describe the emotions?
Yeah, it was, you know, to be honest, going into the week, I was kind of expecting to be a lot more emotional. I was expecting to shed a lot more tears. But I think the way that I've done it and how, you know, I've had some time to be home before this and I think process everything, there was no doubt, there was no uncertainty. So I was so confident in my decision and I'm so ready for the next chapter that going into it, I was just so excited to have one last, you know, week to hang out with my teammates, my best friends, enjoy all the little moments. And of course, when the time came for the game, you know, when I finally got that moment to walk off and celebrate, that was emotional. But, you know, I wasn't sad that it was over. It was more so like I was just so happy for everything that's happened. And I was just so, you know, incredibly grateful. And I feel so blessed that I was able to have the career that I've had, met some incredible people and share that moment with my family. That's what created the emotions.
What do you think you're going to miss the most about being a professional soccer player?
Yeah, for sure. The people that I've met, you know, the best friends that I've had, having all those, that time with them, like sitting around the dinner table, the laughs, the jokes, you know, playing games at night, whether it's card games or video games. It's just those, you know, behind closed door moments with your teammates where you really bond and share a very unique connection. Those are the moments I'll miss the most.
What are you not going to miss at all?
I think for me, it's like the constant having to prove yourself. That feeling of, you know, not always, like I was never, you know, the goalkeeper that was the first choice all the time. Like I've always had to prove myself even until, you know, the final minutes of my career. Like I've had to prove myself and constantly prove people wrong. And that's tiring. That's draining. You know, when you don't feel that you're being valued and you're constantly having, like you believe in your own value and you're constantly having to prove that to other people. That's very, very tiring and I will not miss that.
I totally understand that. Now you've been a part of the national team, and what has it meant for you to be a part of the national team and being able to represent your country?
Yeah, I mean, it's the greatest honor that anybody could have. I know there's so many young boys and girls across the world that would love to be able to put on their national team jersey and represent it. And I've never taken that for granted. I've always been grateful for it. And every single time I've been able to put on the shirt. And I think it's just like for me, you know, I just love what Canada represents so much. And as much as, you know, we have a lot, obviously, to improve and grow on as a country and as a nation. But I've just been so proud to be able to represent this country. You know, I've been supported by this country through everything that I've done, everything I've spoke out about, all of my challenges that I've been quite open about. They've kind of, this country's like supported me so well. And it's been a really incredible memory to represent Canada.
And you have gotten a nickname, the Minister of Defense. What do you think about that nickname?
Oh, I love it. It's so great. These, you know, nicknames come out of the most crazy things. And, you know, obviously last summer was a pretty historic moment for us. And that was one of the greatest things that came out of it, I think.
That's good. What kind of reactions did you get when you told people that, okay, so now I'm going to retire?
I mean, you know, mixed, I think, you know, on one hand, I think there was a lot of people that kind of knew I had spoken about it. I was, you know, I had spoken about my thoughts towards it, not necessarily a specific timeline, but people knew that. And then, you know, I also had the people who are saying, you know, you're on top, you're at the top of your game, why go out now? So obviously, like some mixed emotion, but for sure, like overall, just a lot of support and yeah, just a lot of support and love and some really amazing well wishes.
And during your career, you have played for several clubs here in Damallsvenskan. What kind of memories do you have from your time playing in Sweden?
Yeah, always great. You know, I talk about my time in Sweden a lot. It's, you know, that's where I first became a professional, where I played my first professional years. And I learned so much about myself while living there. I grew so much as a player. I've met some incredible people, some of my closest friends. And, you know, I've got to play in different cities across the country and experience the country. And I find that, like, culturally, the people are very similar to Canadians. And I've always got along with Swedish people, you know, even playing at other clubs, when I have a Swedish person on my team, they seem to be the person I gravitate towards. And yeah, I just like have had so many, I've met so many incredible people, and the country was, I mean, I think it's absolutely beautiful. And I just really enjoyed the lifestyle there, the culture, the way of life. People really, I find, cherish like downtime, and they take the time to really cherish like family time and the time with friends and family. And it's a really beautiful culture, and I've loved, you know, all of my time there.
And you said that you learned a lot of things here and grew as a person. What do you have any examples on what you
felt that you learned during your time here?
Yeah, for sure. Like, as I said, that was my first time really becoming a professional. So I learned, you know, the balance of life and soccer and what I needed to do outside of the soccer pitch to continue to be a better athlete, like whether that was nutrition, whether that was mental training, learning how to balance, you know, when people want to go out and have some drinks and, you know, having the decision of, is this the best choice for me in this moment? And all of those decisions, you know, that's my first time really having to make those decisions and kind of trial and error of what was working for me and what wasn't. And then I think like just anytime you're living in a new culture, in a new team where you don't know people, getting out of your comfort zone to make friends, to make yourself vulnerable, to allow people to get to know you. You know, I'm a bit of an introvert. So when I first meet people, I'm not super outgoing. So that's always difficult when you're in a new situation all alone. So I think just learning those life skills of, you know, working with people that you don't necessarily know, how do you open up to them? How do you build friendships out of that?
Yeah, and Swedish people tend to be pretty introvert as well. Did you feel that when you moved here?
Yeah, I felt sweet, and I also, from what I felt like, Swedish people are also, they're very close with like their close friends, and you know, a lot of Swedish people are good friends with people that they've known, you know, since early ages. So it's and that's kind of like what they're comfortable with, and so I found sometimes as an international, it was sometimes difficult to I think break into that, or you know, to make friends and have, you know, like let's go for coffee and those, and fika of course, those types of things. But yeah, I think that's it, that was one of the things that I think was hard, because you know, Sweden, like I said, you guys have like very close friends with people outside of sport, I found. And so as somebody on the team, it was hard for me to like make plans with people, because I felt like they were always hanging out with this other friend group. But at the same time, it's one thing I really admired about Swedish people was their loyalty and their devotion to like that friend group and those and that family and how close they are.
You said the word fika that we are famous for here in Sweden. Do you know any other Swedish words, or how much Swedish have you picked up?
Yeah, I actually picked up quite a bit. I understand it quite a bit. Kakalaka is my favorite word. I don't know why. I just like saying it. I mean, obviously, fika was probably the most used Swedish word in my repertoire. but yes, I did pick it up. You know, I was there for almost 7 years. I feel like it was about time I started to learn some.
And then you choose kakalaka. That's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. It's very difficult to learn. That was one of the hardest things, was trying to learn Swedish, because everybody is just so darn good in English that I was never forced to use it. So, yeah.
I understand that. And since with all this history here in Sweden, how was it for you to face Sweden in an Olympic final?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like I've come up against Sweden in some of the biggest games of my life here. But yeah, the Olympic final, I think, you know, obviously we knew going into that game that Sweden was quite dominant throughout the entire tournament, and they were, playing very, very well. And we knew that we were going to be coming up against a very strong side. But I think the way that the tournament went for us, and me specifically, I had faced a lot of adversity in that tournament, not only through injury, but through some mental health challenges that I was going through. So for me personally, like, I was just trying to get by like day to day. And I was, you know, after the high for us of having a historical result against the US in the semifinal, we went into that game feeling quite, I guess, free and no expectations. You know, we went into that game wanting to win gold. That was our goal from the start. But I think we were so like not focused on Sweden, and we were so focused on ourselves and everything that we had already accomplished, that it's almost like it didn't matter who we were playing against. We knew we just had to focus on ourselves and do what we needed to do. So I think it was probably a good thing that we didn't focus on Sweden too much, because I think if we would have like, you know, really dove into their tournament, we would have seen how strong they were, and that could have maybe knocked us off a little.
How is it to face like a team where you have some friends in the opposite team?
Yeah, that's always an interesting thing. But, you know, at this point, I'm kind of used to it, just knowing like so many people from around the world. But obviously, you know, anytime I play Sweden, there is something in my heart that feels a little different, just knowing how much time I've spent there, that, you know, I've spent, like I said, close to 7 years there of my life and the majority of my professional career. So there is a little soft spot in my heart for sure.
And it became, of course, a historic summer for you guys. How was it to come back to Canada after that final?
Yeah, to be honest, it wasn't as great, I think, as a lot of us were expecting. I think, you know, as a professional soccer player, you have to kind of get right back into your pro club pretty soon after. So coming home from the Olympics, you know, we had a couple days back home, and then it was with us not having a professional league here, we had to, you know, fly out of the country pretty much immediately. So it was like a few days with friends and family, and then we had to be off on our way back to our pro club. So we didn't unfortunately get to like celebrate too much in Canada and in terms of immediate. And then of course, you know, we still had quite strong rules in terms of the pandemic and whatnot. Yeah. So there still wasn't a lot of in-person media and things like that. So I'd say the celebrations were pretty tame in terms of when we first got back. But then, you know, having the celebration tour with the national team, I think has given us that opportunity to really feel the support of the country and get that moment to celebrate with everybody.
So how was it to come back here after winning an Olympic gold medal against Sweden?
Yeah, it was a little bit awkward, to be honest, when I first got back. But, you know, none of my teammates said hi, so that's fine. I saw the non-Swedish girls, but none of the Swedish girls were quite ready to see me. So that's fine.
But how is it to get back in a situation like that? Because it was a pretty hard time for your Swedish team.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Teammates.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine, you know, I obviously felt for them, but it's, you know, I'm sure that it was challenging for them, but, you know, I can only really speak for myself. And, you know, it's not like I was going to walk up there and say, hey, look at my gold medal. Everybody processes in their own way, and I wasn't going to, you know, force anything. So, yeah.
Jonna Andersson for Sweden. Andersson, Labbe with a save! And now the Canadians, who were living so, so dangerously, have one kick to win it. How this has turned in Canada's favour for Canada! And Canada have their first ever women's Olympic football gold medal! Unbelievable! They seemed in the shootout out.
Stefanie Labbé åkte till OS som en Rosengårdsspelare, men när damallsvenskan drog igång igen med en bortamatch i Vittsjö var hon inte där. Målvakten hade fått ett erbjudande hon inte kunde motstå och valde, efter att ha besegrat Sverige i finalen, att lämna landet för den franska storklubben Paris Saint-Germain. En drömflytt på många sätt. Men när OS-hypen hade lagt sig så kom tvivlen tillbaka. PSG satsade på den 10 år yngre tjeckiskan Barbora Vatikova. Och det blev bara 6 matcher för Labbé. Redan 2019 öppnade 35-åringen upp om sin kamp mot psykisk ohälsa. Något som har följt henne under hela karriären. Och hon tycker att det är viktigt att man vågar prata om den här typen av problem.
It was an opportunity that I felt, you know, at the end of my career, I felt it was something I couldn't pass up, and something I really wanted to try. And, you know, I felt like when I was signing it, I felt like I had more in me than I actually did. So, you know, I felt like I had at least another year in me that I could make it till this June. But, you know, obviously things changed once I got there, and once I the excitement and height of the Olympics wore off, I think, and the day-to-day started to weigh on me a little bit more. But yeah, it was just something that came up that I felt like I couldn't pass up.
How hard was it to get the motivation up after the Olympics once you had landed in to Paris?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously, like anytime going into a new club, there's the excitement, learning a new city. And for the first time in my career, I had my partner. She moved with me to France. And that was something that was very special and comforting as well. You know, having your person there with you every single day, that made it a lot easier, not having to be so far apart. So all of that combined, like, it made the first, you know, couple months very exciting. And it, yeah, it was like a fun move. We loved the city. We had a great little apartment. We were having a great time with the team. You know, I became very close with the Swedish girl on the team, of course. And then I think just like once that kind of excitement and the daily life, I think, started to settle down and slow down, and the focus was just all on soccer again, I think that's when the weight of it and the lack of motivation started to creep in.
Yeah, and during your career, you have mentioned it already a little bit, but you have been open and talking about how you have experienced some problems with your mental health during your mm-hmm. career. Why do you think it is important to talk about these issues?
Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, I know for me, you know, I was inspired by reading stories and hearing stories of other athletes speak about their mental health. And when they spoke about it, I found that I connected with things that they were saying, and it helped me find words to represent, you know, what I was feeling and going through. So it's like somebody else gave me the opportunity to actually almost define what I felt, which I was never able to do before. So I think for me, it was like knowing that I connected to someone else's story, and that inspired me to be more open about myself, that if I can be open about my story, I hope that someone else will connect to my story, and it will help them in their struggle and kind of maybe help them define like what they're feeling and going through. So it was, for me, in a sense, it was like a passing on effect at first. And then I think also it just, I've always kind of prided myself in being real and wanting to show my real self to the world. And, you know, as social media started growing and as I started being more successful with the national team and in the pro and getting more media, I really wanted to find a way to be authentic and continue to be my real self. And I think show the true, you know, when you've made it, it's not all, you know, sunshine and rainbows. There are challenges, and there are a lot of things that we face as professional athletes that are, you know, we face a lot of the same challenges that everybody else faces. And I wanted to show that, and I wanted to be real about that.
Do you think this is a common problem in professional sports?
I think it's definitely there. And I know in a lot of cultures, it's still really hard to talk about, and people don't talk about it. And the stigma is still there. And that's something I am still, you know, fighting hard to change, is the stigma around mental health. And, you know, just as much as people have physical injuries, like mental, you know, challenges are right there. And I think in sport, you know, the way that we are judged, like every single day, you know, every single training session you go to, like people are watching, and your performance is being analyzed. Every time, you know, we play a game, it's, you know, people are watching, the media is watching, you're being analyzed, you're being scrutinized, there's social media, like we're constantly being judged every single day, and that can take a toll. And if you're not in a space to be able to like find your confidence from within and find your own value from within, you tend to go outwards. And, you know, it's just like anything, you can read, you know, 10 positive comments about yourself, but that one negative one is the one that's going to stick. We're human beings, and that's very normal. We're naturally quite critical of ourselves. So I think the more that we can be open and honest and talk about our challenges and our vulnerabilities that we have, I think the closer that we can get to healing and to becoming a more healthy version of ourselves.
What kind of reactions have you gotten since you opened up and started talking about it?
Yeah, I mean, overwhelmingly positive and supportive. It's been a really, really amazing journey, to be honest. the amount of support I've got, the amount of people that have reached out saying that I've helped them or I've saved their lives or that they connect to my story, like it's quite overwhelming at times in the best of way. And I feel so grateful. Oh, sorry, my dog's barking. It's okay, bud. And never regretted it. You know, any day of my life, it's just been something I'm so proud of that I've been able to do and confident that I've been able to come out and say this and talk about my experience. And, you know, it's connected me to some really amazing people and some other, you know, athletes that have found the strength to speak out about their own challenges. And that to me is like a win right there.
What do you know now that you wish that someone would have told you like 10 years ago?
Ooh, that all I need is within myself. You know, literally it was exactly 10 years ago. I was taking a step away from the national team because I was so focused, hyper-focused on trying to get my confidence from outside. You know, I was constantly worried about what coaches were thinking of me. I was always needing feedback from coaches. I was always worried about, like, do my teammates think that I'm good? Do my teammates trust me on the field? You know, I was focused on what other goalkeepers were doing. And I was thinking, you know, well, if she's playing a lot of minutes and this is how she plays, maybe I need to play just like her. You know, I was thinking about all these things outside of me instead of just focusing on, you know, what made me special, what made me unique, and how can I be the best version of myself? And as soon as I got back to that, like focusing on me and how do I find confidence in myself and how do I, you know, push myself and just be focused on what I think of myself. As soon as I got back to that, that's when my career really started to take a turn and I started to be a lot more successful. And yeah, so I think it's just coming back to like everything that I need is actually in myself and I don't need anything from the people outside of me.
How much would you say that your mental health issues has affected you during your career, and in what way did it do it?
Yeah, I think it made me a much more resilient, strong athlete. I was ready to face adversity, you know, when hard times came, because I have already kind of went through the challenge of mental health, and I had introduced like some tools into my life that helped me deal with mental health challenges. Those same tools were very useful when adversity hit in my career, whether it was, you know, not being selected to play, like whether it was not getting a contract that I wanted, whether it was getting an injury, like all those types of things that came up throughout my career, because I had the tools to deal with mental health challenges. They were also very useful in those times. And I think it helped me to be more confident in myself and more mentally strong in a sense, because I was able to handle that.
So now when your career as a professional soccer player is over, what are you going to do in the future?
Yeah, that's still a little bit up in the air. I know I'm going to stay in the game. The game will never be able to escape me for sure. You know, I want to continue to, number one, push for a professional league here in Canada. That's like very, very high on my list. So I'm going to continue to have conversations with people and you know, figure out what it is exactly that's missing and why it hasn't started yet, and start to have, yeah, all those hard conversations with the right people and continue to push for that, because this team, it's just still mind blowing that, you know, we don't have a league here, and this team deserves it. This country deserves it. All the young girls that are growing up wanting to play for this team, like they deserve to have a place to dream to play in. So I want to continue to push for that. And I'm also want to continue to push to create better resources and tools for female athletes around the world to help with their mental health and to help with mental health challenges during sport. So those are kind of the two, I guess, main focuses that I want to continue to work on.
And well, now your career, it hasn't been over that far yet, but what are your best memories from your career?
Yeah, best memories. I mean, there's so many, but I mean, of course, like I have to say last summer, winning the Olympic gold for sure was crazy historic moment that we achieved as a team, and doing it with, you know, a lot of my best friends in the world, that, you know, will remain best friends forever. Doing it with that group was very special, and something I definitely will never forget. And then I think, to be honest, it's just like, it's the fact that I've been so lucky to be able to travel the world and play in these beautiful countries, and get to experience, you know, a different side of soccer. I think that's kind of, I think, been some of my greatest memories, is just thinking about the countries I've lived in, the people I've met. It's the time outside of soccer, really, that I think about.
And so what are your memories from being in Sweden?
The amazing morotskaka.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things, yeah. Yeah, I think, like, honestly, I miss riding my bike. I miss, yeah, like, the lifestyle of being able to just get on your bike and get anywhere in the city. And, you know, I would have, you know, whether you had appointments or you're meeting people for coffee or wherever, and, like, just look it up on your phone. And, like, you don't even think twice about getting on your bike and going. And, you know, at home, we don't do that the same here. We get in our car and we go everywhere, even if it's, like, super close, you know. So I miss that lifestyle. I miss getting on that bike and biking around, and having that as, you know, my means of transportation. It's a very special thing, but I really miss that.
Yeah, I can understand that. And Malmö is a pretty good city for that as well.
Yes, for sure. Oh my God, the bike paths are amazing.
Well, Steph, thank you so much for having time.
Of course, thank you so much for having me.
Du har lyssnat på en podcast från Aftonbladet. Ansvarig utgivare är Lena K. Samuelsson.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.